Much binding in the moss. With Richard Murdoch, Kenneth Horne, Sam Coster, Helen Hill, Morris Denham, Barbara Valerie, and the Augmented Dance Orchestra, conducted by Stanley Black. Some people may think it a bit boring to be an announcer with just an opening and a closing announcement. That is possibly true in some cases, but not when the opening announcement is Much Binding Takes the Air.
The loss of the basic petrol ration was one of the saddest blows of the year. Our cars, which were put up during the war, then used again with great rejoicing, are now put up again. But after all, we have to put up with many things. For instance, we have to put up with your old friend, Richard Murdoch.
How do you do, visitors? Welcome once again to Much Binding in the Marsh. It's been a most exhausting week getting everything shipshape for the official reopening of the club. We wanted the club to be somewhere where visitors can get privacy and be alone with their thoughts. It's been rather expensive achieving this, as it's meant putting a door on the bathroom, but we've done it. The whole place is really looking spick and span. Costa's been over the stair carpet with a stiff brush and finished up by going over the banisters with a loud crash. The guest bedroom has, of course, been left as you would wish to find it. We've given the bedstead a good rub-up with brass polish and put a clean paper fan in the fire grate. The whole place is so clean that you could practically eat off the plates. I'm very proud of our club. As you know, it's all stuccoed up to the portico and mortgaged up to the hilt. Everything's in good running order, except perhaps our cuckoo clock. This has got so bad that the cuckoo now comes out and says, "What time is it?" In the reading room, we've placed the bust of Shakespeare, and in the music room, the bust of Beethoven, with surprising results. Already, Mr. Horne has been inspired to write his autobiography entitled The Man I Love. In a similar manner, Coster, under the benevolent eyes of Beethoven, has managed to repair the piano stool. The biggest dividend, however, has come from the coal cellar, where we have the bust of Jane Russell. This has proved so inspiring that... So inspiring, we've already had our allocation of coal up to and including July 1942. Well, I was going to tell you some very funny jokes here about the wife's mother, but there isn't time, so Stanley Black and the orchestra will play the Cactus Polka. Good afternoon. Sir, it is good to see you, but, oh, sir, no, not for the official opening of the club.
What do you mean, Murdoch?
Well, a balaclava helmet with a bowler on top.
But, Murdoch, it's cold today, and, well, doesn't it look comme il faut?
Here's a mirror, sir. Take a look.
Thank you. Hello. Since when have you acquired a Cocker Spaniel?
That's you, sir.
Oh, yes, I can tell now by the tram ticket in the hatband.
By the way, sir, have you had permission from the Air Council to wear the scrambled eggs, the gold braid on the brim of your bowler?
Well, frankly, Murdoch, it's not that at all. I was in rather a hurry to catch my train this morning, and I didn't want to leave my breakfast, so I sort of...
Yeah, I quite understand, sir. But you might have left a tidy plate.
Perhaps you could get Dudley to give it a rinse round. Take it, will you?
Yes, sir. Oh, I see you had kippers yesterday. By the way, what do you think of my morning coat?
Oh, very nice, Murdoch. Aren't those zip fasteners a boon?
Yes, they are, sir. Now, about the opening ceremony today, have you got your speech prepared?
Well, I thought of starting, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, sir, that's a fearfully good touch.
I'm so glad you like it, because frankly, that bit took me longer than the rest of the speech.
What is the rest of the speech?
Well, that's as far as I've got. Do you think it needs any embellishments?
It's hard to say, sir. It's concise, witty, and at the same time all-embracing.
You don't think I've overdone it, then?
No, sir, I shouldn't alter a word of it.
Ah, it's a weight off my mind. Now, tell me exactly what's on today.
As far as I can remember, steamed cotton boiled and fig pudding.
No, Murdoch, what is to be the sequence of events?
Oh, I see what you mean. I've timed everything to a split second, sir.
You haven't, Murdoch.
I have, sir. Yes, I have. Our distinguished guest is due to arrive at Stanfield Abbott Station at 12:15. The train usually gets in about 4 o'clock, but today Ivy Klingbein has promised to be there to open the level crossing gates before the train actually arrives, so it should get in about 2:30.
Well, I suppose Costa will drive the transport down to the station?
Oh, yes, sir. Buttercup has had her hooves manicured and her mane mangled and her teeth scaled.
And how are her withers?
Slightly googly, sir.
Ah, well, never mind. As long as her fetlocks are in good fettle.
Well, they are.
Incidentally, Murdoch, I must say it's a really good show you getting hold of this person. This is really a great day for much binding. In fact,
yes.
I can't remember when we've ever had such a well-known personality in our midst.
It is thrilling, isn't it,
yes,
sir? Mrs. Plackett tells me she's completely sold out of autograph books.
By Jove, Murdoch. By Jove, it's an occasion comparable with the day when Stuart Hibbert opened the bazaar at Stoke Whittington.
Yes. Or when we had the clean roller towel in the ablutions.
Yes. I suppose Costa's been briefed as to what he should do?
I'll get him in, sir. Costa! It's wonderful, isn't it, sir? I can't think of anyone more suitable to open the club.
Well, I couldn't have been more. Come on, sir. Was there something?
Costa, you know about our guest today. All right, you needn't kneel down.
Oh, sir, but I'm so excited, I feel quite hard to come by.
I'm sure you do, Costa, but we want to make quite sure that when you make the presentation, you have an apt reply to anything our guest may say to you.
Oh, certainly, sir. What's an apt reply?
Well, Costa, supposing I said to you, how is Emily? You would reply, she's very well, thanks.
Well, I don't know about that, sir, because her twinges have been giving her a jip lately. She's had to see the doctor.
Oh, all right, then. Her twinges have been giving her a jip lately. She's had to see the doctor. That's apt.
No, it wasn't, sir. It was Dr. Turnbull, the twinger tire.
Oh, Costa, I'm sure you're going to ruin the whole affair.
Look, Costa, our guest is a very important personage, so we've decided to make a gesture.
Well, I hope it's not a rude one.
Costa, a presentation is to be made, and it's up to you to carry it out.
But who's going to bring it in, sir?
Oh, terrible, isn't it, really? Perhaps we'd better get Dudley to make the presentation.
I think you're right, my lord.
Oh, no, sir, no. I'm quite parsimonious to the idea. But I would like to know what the present is going to be.
Well, Costa, if you must know, it's a gold watch.
A gold watch, sir?
Well, it's a nice-looking watch, and Dudley said he didn't want it anymore. Oh.
But you still haven't said who the guest is going to be.
Oh, haven't I, Costa? Well, it's a film star, and that is why you've got to be dead certain of your words. Now, assume that I'm the film star. You've just presented me with the watch. I should say, thank you, what a delightful watch. Your reply would be, I hope it will be worn by you in your next film. Now, you think that's all Costa needs say, don't you, sir?
Yes, sir. Don't think we'd better risk giving him anything more. Now then, Costa, a little rehearsal. I am the film star.
How do you do, Mr. Bogart?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
Look, I represent the film star to whom you've just given the watch. Thank you, what a delightful watch.
Come on, Costa.
I hope it will be pawned by you in your next film.
Oh, Costa.
I'm sorry, sir. I was thinking of my watch.
Well, sir. say, I hope you will wear it in your next film.
Right. I hope you will wear it in your next film.
That's better, Costa. Now rehearse that so that you're word perfect. In the meantime, we'd better get Dudley in. Is that you, Dudley? Come in a minute, will you? Have you seen the new film at the Odeodrome this week, son?
No.
Neither have I.
Good morning, sir. Dudley Davenport at your service.
By Jove, Dudley, your get-up is really West End.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Not at all.
Dudley, your spats, they're immaculate.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Not at all.
Your coat, waistcoat, and stock look most distinguished.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Not at all.
But Dudley, don't you think perhaps it'd be more in keeping with the occasion if you had a pair of trousers on as well?
Oh, I say, I am a fool.
Dudley!
Sir?
Don't worry about it. We've all been Boy Scouts together, haven't we?
Well, I never got farther than a cub, sir.
Oh, never mind, Costa. You've still plenty of time.
Sir?
Yes, Dudley, what is it?
Well, sir, I know I'm only a junior employee here, and I hope I haven't overstepped the mark. Sir.
Dudley! There's no need to bring Ivy Plackett into this.
Be quiet, Costa. Go meet the train. What is it, Dudley?
Well, sir, I've taken the liberty of asking my mater down here today, sir.
Oh, splendid, Dudley. We'd like to meet Mrs. Davenport.
Lady Davenport, sir? Oh. Yes, she's one of the Davenports of Chesterfield.
Is she there?
Mr. Murdoch.
Yes,
sir.
What is it, Costa?
I've asked my mum down, too.
Oh, well, it's very nice. We'd love to meet Lady Costa.
Miss Costa, sir.
What? Miss Costa.
Well, sir, she's really my foster mother.
Oh, I see. Your name's really Sam Foster.
No, sir, it's a long story. You see, when I was born, my parents looked at me and said, if we're not careful, that'll grow up like Sam Foster. And then they went to Africa.
You don't mean to say they left you in the lurch?
No, sir, in the porch. And then a kind lady called Miss Foster came along, took me to the orphanage and said, you won't be wanting this, will you? And they said, what is it?
And what was it, Costa?
Well, we never really found out. But 15 years later, when I was walking down the Edgware Road, a very
Come
funny...
in!
Oh, excuse me. Is this the Much Binding Country Club?
Yes, but we don't need one. We've only got gas.
Don't need what?
A vacuum cleaner.
I haven't come to sell a vacuum cleaner.
What have you come for?
Well, as my friend Gwen Catley is indisposed, I've come to sing a song.
Oh, of course, yes. You're Helen Hill, and you're going to sing The Pipes of Pan, aren't you?
Yes, but how did you know?
But it's a long story. Anyhow, we'd like you to sing it.
Oh, away, away, there's deep within. catch us if you can. Come follow, follow where they lead. Oh, Mary, Mary, come. Mary, Mary, come. Oh, follow, Mary, Mary, come.
And now, Murdoch, we haven't got much time to waste. Tell me, is my bow on straight?
Well, it's straight, sir, but shouldn't you have clipped it on the other way round? It's showing the maker's name.
Well, frankly, I got it cheap on condition that the maker's name was prominently displayed. By the way, you don't think it's a bit ostentatious wearing the defence ribbon on both lapels, do you?
Good. Heavens no, sir. You earned it.
Oh, Murdoch. That's very nice of you, but after all, I was no braver than the next man.
Oh, sir. Really, you're too modest. By the way, how was Colwyn Bay during the war? Incidentally, sir, we mustn't reminisce too much. The film star will be here at any moment.
Yes, exactly. We must keep calm and preserve our equilibrium.
I quite agree, sir. We must never get
into... see who it is, madam.
Sir, I could even...
You never can tell. If it is, we mustn't keep it waiting. It will be rank bad form.
Quite agree, sir.
Open the door, Murdoch.
Oh, I hope I'm not intruding, sir, but I thought you'd like
oh,
to...
Oh, how do you do? Yes, it really is charming of you to come. Do tell me about your last film. I'm such an admirer of yours.
Yes, so am I. I thought you were wonderful in It It Behoved the Bourne.
Oh, yes, I quite agree. Very lovely.
Excuse me, sir, but this is my mater, Lady Davenport.
Oh, how do you do, Lady Davenport?
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Horn?
Actually, my name's Murdoch. This is Mr. Horn.
Oh, I say I am a foolish woman. Does it? Doug is always talking to me about you. Now let me see, which is the one he always calls Baldy?
Oh, steady on, Mater.
I imagine it must be Mr. Horn, because Mr. Murdoch seems to be fit the other nickname. What is it, Dudley? Oh, yes, Stingy Stinker.
Oh, steady on, Mater.
So this is the office where Dudley tells me you passed the 2-year pin-up gear.
Oh, steady on, Mater.
By the way, Mr. Murdoch, how is Dudley getting on with his homework?
All right, I think. I know he took her to the pictures yesterday.
Oh, steady on, Mater.
Yeah, I mean his straight work. Dudley tells me you're both excellent.
Oh, steady on, Mater.
Well, there seems to be a lot of excitement here today about the visit of this famous film star, whose name escapes me for the moment.
Yes, it escapes me for the moment. Oh, no, of
Murdoch,
course.
Murdoch, they're here.
Oh, don't
look,
come in.
Look, we must dash out.
Well, quick, Dudley, bring Lady Davenport to the bed.
Murdoch, yes. Get your collar on.
There's no time for trivialities like that. Now, out we go, everybody. You're not nervous, are you, sir?
Nervous? Not a bit, no.
How do you do? I'm so glad you could come. I hope you had a pleasant journey.
Now, Costa, now do you remember what you have to say after our guest has thanked you for the watch?
Yes, sir. I hope you'll wear it in your next film.
That's right. Now, be sure you get it right.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're very proud to have in our midst a very distinguished film star who has graciously consented to declare our newly decorated country club well and truly laid. Thank you very much.
Here, here.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Patricia Roth.
Thank you. Oh, I'm thrilled to be here and overwhelmed by the hospitality and friendliness which has been shown to me. Your driver, who met me at the station with his nice moustache, has been kindness itself. And he very thoughtfully asked for my telephone number in case he could be of assistance to me at any time. And I must say that the way he helped me into the wagon was more than friendly. He even apologized on the way here when the horse ran out of hay and I had to be let loose in the field for half an hour. However, it was a very, very enjoyable journey, though I must confess that it's nice to have my feet on terra firma again. Oh!
Are you all right, Bobby?
Yes, I'm perfectly all right. I'll carry on down here.
Good. Custer!
What is it, sir?
Watch.
I am watching.
No, no, Custer, the watch.
Oh, yes, sir. Miss Roke, I was so happy when I learnt that I had been detailed to make the presentation to you. We had a whip round, and with the proceeds, were lucky enough to pick up this genuine Swiss-type timepiece at Chivett and Sampson's closing down sale. Please accept it with our heart-burning recriminations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Custer. What a delightful moustache you have.
I hope you will wear it in your next film.
That was beautifully done, Miss Rock, and now we'd like you to meet the mayor of Muchbinding, Councillor Blake the Sexton.
And how do you do, Mr. Blake? I hope you are well.
Oh,
I'm very glad to hear it. And, tell me, what is your favorite film?
Birth of a Nation.
Now then, Miss Rock, we must get you away now, otherwise you'll be surrounded by autograph hunters. And incidentally, would you just sign this one for my nephew? And if you would just put to Stapleton.
Oh, but of course.
Oh, thank you so much. I suppose I couldn't persuade you just to do one more for his little...
You mustn't worry, Miss Rock. We must get on with the concert. Ladies and gentlemen, our managing director, Mr. Horn, has a new song which he's composed specially for this occasion. Mr. Horn.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. This little song, ladies and gentlemen, is all about the sea and the very, very merry life that the sailors have on it. So thank you, Ralph.
Oh, a sailor's life is on the sea and he has a jolly time, oh. A sailor's life is on the sea and he has a jolly time, oh. A woman had been waiting for nearly 13 years to welcome home her sailor man. Through laughter and through tears. And one day through the mist and fog, his ship it hove in view. And she was so excited that she nearly hove in two. The men whose job it was to do it put the gangplank in position from the old tramp steamer. The crew filed off one by one until only the captain and one riveter remained on board doing the job of a lap trimmer. No sign of George Crabtree, which was the name of the woman's husband, her joy and pride. Elsie, the wife, stood leaning against a bollard by the quayside, and with tears in her eyes she cried, "He is not there. He is not there." But suddenly, yes, suddenly, a grimy little figure appeared with a parrot on his shoulder with 3 years' growth of beard. He embraced his wife on the spot. He whispered softly in her ear, "This only goes to prove that sailor's life is on the sea and he has a jolly time, oh. A sailor's life is on the sea." The company sergeant! Major, that's all.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, all romantic songs seem to be about soldiers or sailors, but I've been encouraged by the Public Relations Department of the Steel Board to sing my latest composition. Thank you, Alfred. You can sing about your soldiers, you can sing about your sailors, you can sing about the mighty rolling sea. You can sing about your frigates and your schooners and your whalers, but there's only one life for me. I long to be an oxyacetylene welder, welding across the blue. There's no life like the oxyacetylene welders, and welders, he know that's true. When I'm a welder, I'll always do my best. Just give me a little bit of oxyacetylene, I'll do the rest. And with my physiotherapist, my dreams will all come true. And she'll say, oxyacetylene, well, that I love you won't get a beat.
I long to be an oxyacetylene welder, welding across the room. There's no life like the oxyacetylene welders, and welders, we know that's true.
When I'm welding, I'll weld with all my might. Just give me a little bit of oxyacetylene, I'll be all right.
And with my physiotherapist, my dreams will all come true. And she'll say, oxyacetylene welder, I...
Thank you, Miss Hill. Did you like those songs?
Oh, very nice indeed. But is that the end?
Well, as this is a very special occasion, we did think of trying to sandwich in a little song that goes something like this. And much, I think it's much. The BBC has issued an instruction. And much, I think it's much.
A pantomime must be our next production.
We're doing Cinderella and it's sure to be a slip.
We've got the whole thing fastened up, we'll never lose our grip.
The Costa's playing buttons and Patricia rocks a zip.
At much, finding in the marsh. At much, finding in the marsh.
Our silent films are always an attraction.
At much, finding in the marsh. Our pianist suits the music to the action.
Means everyone should do.
The horses are in view.
And when you hear,
the film is coming too. At much, finding in the marsh. At much, finding in the marsh.
Although we're satisfied with our position.
At much, finding in the marsh. To be a film star is our great ambition.
As actors we've got everything the others haven't got.
Let's ask Patricia Rock if she could fix us in a shot.
I'll send for my director and he'll shoot you on the spot.
At much, finding in the marsh, last verse. At much, finding in the marsh.
The opening of the club has been a riot. Tiddly-pom-pom.
At much, finding in the marsh. We simply couldn't keep the people quiet.
We thought we'd break a bottle of champagne on Costa's head.
But couldn't quite afford the price, and so we used instead
a bottle of tomato juice, and my was his face red.
At much, finding in the marsh. Thanks, Patricia.
Much,
finding in the marsh.
Here's a posy.
At much, finding in the marsh.
Listening to Much Binding in the Marsh with Richard Murdoch, Kenneth Horne, Sam Costa, Helen Hill, Maurice Denham, Barbara Valerie, and their guest, Patricia Rock. The Old Menu Dance Orchestra was conducted by Stanley Black, script by Richard Murdoch and Kenneth Horne, produced by Leslie Britton.
This program was originally broadcast to home listeners of the BBC.